I come from a multilingual church, and we try to hear what other people are saying, and we try to imagine as we gather together, not just the people that are here, but the people who surrounded us when we were young, and from whom we have come from various parts of the world to be what is the United Church in our area of Dartmouth. So I want you to think by whom you are surrounded this morning. Who are the people that you don't see, but who are here? For where two or three are gathered together, Christ stands in our midst to bless us. And when Christ comes to be with us, he brings your father, your mother, your grandparents, your aunties, your uncles. He brings a whole crowd of witnesses. And he brings a person called St. Paul to be with us. And we are St. Paul's United Church. But who is the St. Paul? Why is the church named after a man who sat in our midst 2,000 years ago? Why do we still bear the name St. Paul? Surely there's better people than Paul. We could have St. Carolyn, or maybe not. St. Brett, or maybe not. Or St., or maybe not. Okay? We could name this place after a variety of saints. People who have sat by our side, who incarnated Christ to us, who made Christ real to us. We are surrounded by saints. They just don't know they are saints. So who is the St. Paul that sits with us this morning? If you were to ask anybody or somebody from Fredericton were to ask you, well, where do you go to church? And you say, St. Paul's. You don't have to say anything more than that. They know St. Paul's. They know exactly where you are going. They know this community of faith. They know the building. They know its location. They even know where to find the parking lot. After all these years, it's still in the same spot. They know portions of your history. And they know a lot of gossip about St. Paul's. But there's more to us than that. There's more to St. Paul than what any of us know. Us Protestants are never very good at remembering the saints. We threw them out, you see, 500 years ago at the time of the Reformation. And in many ways, it's time for a new house cleaning, because every 500 years, the church goes through a house cleaning. So it's time to go through that house cleaning again, and maybe this COVID is the time to clean house. Clean the saints, to find new saints, to find new incarnations of God's presence in our midst. The worship of the saints is a major stumbling block and was a major stumbling block in Christian history. And many times the saints were worshiped more than Christ. So every now and then the church had to kick out the old saints to make space for new saints. We had to put Christ back at the center of things and start all over again. However, we came to discover in time that there was a certain spiritual richness that comes to us by remembering those saints who have gone before us into the great cloud of witnesses that are here haunting this place since Halloween is over. That great cloud of witnesses that haunts your minds, that great cloud of witnesses that speaks to you and says, "You shouldn't be doing that." I don't know about you, but I can still hear my grandmother, who's been dead for 70 years, speak to me quietly from beyond the grave, saying to me, just as she said, "I will run down your throat and gallop your guts out if you do that." Having just gone through Halloween, and today being the Feast of All Saints, and tomorrow being the Feast of All Souls, I want us to think about those who have gone before us. I want us to think about those men and women whose names we may be beginning to forget, and to draw them back from where we have put them in our history, that they can sit beside you one more time this morning. I want to draw your attention to a cemetery. It's in Black River Bridge, New Brunswick. And if you don't know where that comes from, it's just beyond Bay de Vin, which is just beyond Hardwick, which is just beyond Bay St. Anne, locating it for you. And if you wander through St. Stephen's Cemetery in Black River Bridge, New Brunswick, you'll come across a headstone, and on it are engraved these words: "Remember me as you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so will you be. Prepare for death and follow me." True words. I want to draw you back into the communion of saints. I want you to remember the names you've begun to forget. I want to draw you back to yesterday, then move you into today. Yesterday, Halloween. It has its origins in the Celtic feast of Samhain. That was the day when the dead and the living commingled, when the spiritual and the material worlds combined with each other and intertwined. That was when those who were held in God and those who are still being held in God came back together. And they lived one more time for a few hours in each other's presence. When someone died in the previous year, what the family was supposed to do were to keep the clothes of that person. They were to remember that person, and they were on Halloween night to put on the clothes of that person and to cover their face. And then they were to go to their neighbors, knock upon the door, be allowed entrance into the house, and they were to say in Gaelic these three words, Bianachin na Chairs, blessings or curses. The people of the house then would try to decipher who this person was dressed up in these strange clothes, the clothes of somebody they knew in their area. And they were trying to figure out through the voice who this person might be dressed in the clothes of those who had gone before them. If they could guess, then it was considered that they had remembered the dead, that they had remembered their ancestors, that they remembered all that people had taught them throughout time, that they remembered all the lessons they had learned and were passing them on to the next generation. They were raised on dreams and stories and heroes of renown, the passing tales and glories of what were our hometown. If you remembered, you were blessed. And the sweetness of memory was shared often in the form of a piece of fudge or candy. And later in that evening, if the truth be told, there was something else poured into a glass as you celebrated a parting glass one more time. But we won't remember that part. In remembering, we bring back those who have gone before us. 40 years ago, we started a youth group from these little bit of scruffians that were running around St. Paul's Church. And I remember a certain boy who walked in very shy. And I remember saying to Vivian Blake, what will we ever do with that kid? He's so shy. I won't say who he was. And there was another little girl who was very talkative, I remember. And I won't say who she was either. But it's good to see them back, gathered together, those who have gone before us, who have inhabited our hearts, who have blessed us on our journey, who brought us spiritual light throughout our darkness, those who sat with us in the midst of what was happening and were God's presence to us. The Feast of Saving celebrated those who were lights in our path, in our world, and we remembered them. And if we did, we were truly blessed by them. There's a wonderful little children's prayer that says, and God bless mummies and daddies and grandparents too, aunties and uncles and friends old and new. To remember those who have gone before us is to be blessed. To forget is to be cursed. The Jews said that to remember God is to be truly blessed, and to remember all that God has done, to remember and recount God's kindness throughout our life, to tell that story to the next generation, to remember those who have gone before us and what they have taught us, to recount the presence of God, to ponder how God appears at strange times in our lives and talk about that, to talk about how God appears in strange people in our lives and to talk about that, and to remember and to live in deep communion with the nearness of God. This is to truly be blessed. They even had lists of blessings and curses, and they recorded them in scripture if you want to go back to the Old Testament. When Matthew and his community, a Jewish community in the Middle East, were putting together their gospel, Matthew started to write the blesseds, and we noticed them as the Beatitudes by which we should be. But Matthew left off the curses. So Matthew in the early church followed the tradition, which was already the tradition of the Celtic saints, to live in memory and to remember. Blessed are the peacemakers. My God, I wish we'd remember who could make peace and revive them. Blessed are the truth tellers. By God, I wish we could remember them and revive them. I wish we could remember. But Matthew left off the curses. Remember that the question was blessing or curses. If the people of the household couldn't remember who had gone before them, if they couldn't remember the dead, if they couldn't remember anything, if they couldn't keep alive those who had gone before them, then they were considered to be cursed. And the stranger who entered their house would look at them in disgust and say, "Cursed be you forever." And then he would blow out the light and say, as he walked out the door, "The light of God's presence has gone out in this house." As you remember, has the light of God's presence gone out here? Or do you still remember, do you still revive, do you still have dreams of glory as you gather together in a Sunday morning? Too truly cursed we are when we don't remember, when we forget what was taught us, and we forget the adage that he who forgets is bound to repeat history. So today is All Saints' Day, to remember those who have gone before us. In the Celtic tradition and in the tradition of the early church, a saint wasn't anybody glorious. He wasn't somebody wrapped with a halo around his or her head. They didn't have to wear fancy clothes that were unreal to them and unrealistic to them. A saint was simply a person through whom the light of God shone at one moment. And as you look around here, you see pictures of saints gathered here, there, and everywhere, and the light is still shining through them as you gather in this place. But don't look at glass, look at people. Look at the incarnation of God's presence. Look at the people around you. Those are the true saints through whom the light of Christ shines. They're not dead, they're not in glass, they're not off in some distant heaven. We are surrounded by saints. Men and women who speak God's truth to us. Men and women who reach out in love to us. Men and women who tenderly hold us in our difficult times. Men and women who reach into the hell of our existence and pull us out of that back into heaven. We are surrounded by saints. They are not the dead. They are men and women who offered themselves to Christ and unbeknownst to themselves have been used by Christ. We have all met saints. And we haven't known it. We have all met God speaking through a plethora of people, through a myriad of media, through the facility and the faculties and the frailties of this Christian family. Anytime you speak a word that lifts a burden from another, you have become a saint to that person. We are surrounded by saints, but we never tell them, do we? How often we go to a funeral and you hear somebody say, "Oh, they were such a good person." Well, why the hell didn't you tell them that when they were alive? Why didn't you tell them that? Why didn't you speak God's truth to them when they were alive? Why do you wait till they're dead? Why do we wait to congratulate the saints? Think of those who are around you now, who inhabit this building that you can't see. Think of the saints. We could name millions of them, and God can name millions more. And yet we don't remember until somebody says, "Who do you remember?" So I ask you today, who do you remember as you gather here today? After 188 years, surely to God you can remember somebody. Today we gather to remember the youth group and to see how God has been merciful on some. We remember who walked with us, who played with us, who laughed with us. We remember with great surprise that these people are now looking like this. We remember those around us to whom we have never said how much they have meant to us, how their word of encouragement brought us out of darkness, how their kindness dried our tears, and how much their laughter has brought us joy or set us free from sorrow's grip. How much they were a saint to us. So I want to tell you how much St. Paul and this congregation has been a saint to me. To a young lad in university from a small fishing village who sat up there in the balcony, pretty much where you're sitting there today. This church spoke truth to me. This church, when I was ordained, gave me this. And I've worn it for 40 years. I've carried St. Paul with me, and I thank you for your kindnesses through it all these years. You have been saints to me, but now I challenge you to be saints to others, to the person on the street, to the person who's homeless, to the young person who don't know where to turn. Be saints to them. Be the living presence of God in your midst. We are surrounded by saints, and we just don't know it. At the end of worship today, the habit is in our congregation, and maybe here too, to blow out the Christ candle, because at that point, the light of Christ is not in candles or institutions. It will come to roost in you and me, and we will be carriers of the light. We will be the incarnation of what happens in here for the world beyond these walls. We will carry light into this world. When we go from here, we will live so that the entire city will be changed by St. Paul's. When I was studying Jerusalem in 1985, it was a dangerous time. People were putting bombs in garbage cans. People were getting onto buses with bombs and blowing things up. So you were very, very scared. There was a huge tension in the city. And one day I got on the bus and found a seat and sat down there. And soon this young Palestinian got on the bus and sat down beside me. And I was terrified, for I thought at any moment he could press a belt and kaboom, we'd all be blown to eternity. He sat down beside me and there was a certain stink came off him. And I went, and I realized then it was the smell of incense. And I looked at him and I made the sign of the cross. And he looked at me and smiled, made the sign of the cross. And then he reached out and held my hand. And I knew then I wasn't sitting by a terrorist. I was sitting by a brother. There was a smell of holiness. Let us put on that smell of holiness so that when we leave here, we can go to people who are scared in this world and bring them a bit of peace. Let us live clothed in the one to whom we belong, so when people look at us, they say, oh, there's a Christian. But moreover, I have one thing for you to do. When that man got on the bus with me, he stank. I need you to leave this place and go to stir up a stink. Stir up a stink in society. Stir up a stink that brings a different aroma to the thing. Stir up a stink that causes people to think beyond the exterior that you see and see the reality. I need you to cause a stink in Fredericton. So let us put on Christ today. Let us be clothed with his garments. Let us go from here to be the stink of the United Church of Canada that says to people in power, oh, no, you won't. That said many years ago, we need in this country a pension plan for our people. That says in this country, we need old age security. That said in this country, we need a medical system that's for all. That said in this system, we have to care for the lowliest. I need you to go from this place to be the stink that upsets people, to changes the world. I don't need you to go and sit at home and say, oh, well, that was a service today, was it? I need you to go from here, clothed in Christ, to change the world. I need you to go to places where people might not even recognize you and start to question who you really are. I need you to go from here to be the incarnation of the God that we adore, to be challenging, evolving, and living for the glory of God. I need you to go from here carrying those words on the tombstone. Remember me as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so will you be. Prepare for life and follow me. Like St. Paul before us, and like all who have been in St. Paul's United Church in Fredericton, let us clothe ourselves when we go from here to be the presence of Christ. Who is St. Paul today? I'm so interested to hear your stories for the glory of God.